heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons.
This is Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM, Catholic Radio.
Welcome to this episode of Healing the Whole Person on WFSI 88.5 FM, Catholic Radio. My name is Father John Grigas. I am director of the National Shrine of St. Max Jacobi here at Marytown, and we are broadcasting from Marytown. I'm very pleased that we are doing so. This is the first topic that I'm going to talk about in this series is healing from pornography addiction. And so we might begin by asking a question, how is this talk related to the topic of the day? The topic we're dealing with is healing of the whole person, body, mind, and soul. The topics presented by the other speakers, inner healing, healing of the family tree, and deliverance are the typical subject matters of such talks. Pornography generally has not been, and that has been one of the problems. We have generally remained silent about it. Yet it is so predominant in our society, and its effects are so devastating, not only upon the person as a whole who is caught up in this addiction, but upon one's relationship with God and others, and one's entire outlook on life, so much so that it has to be addressed. Let's first define what pornography is. It comes from the Greek word pornografia, which is composed of two words, pornoi, which means fornicators, and graphia, which is pictures. So right offhand, you can see that it is equivalent to fornication through the viewing of very graphic and explicit images. And as such, it reminds us of what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 27, 28. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The clinical definition given by Dr. Peter Kleponis in his book Integrity Restored, Helping Catholic Families Win the Battle Against Pornography, is the following. Pornography is any image that leads a person to use any other person for his or her own sexual pleasure. It is devoid of love, intimacy, relationship, or responsibility. It can be highly addictive. Page 10. When he says any image, he doesn't necessarily refer to explicit sexual images. It can refer to soft porn images, such as those present in lingerie sections of the newspaper, R-rated movies, or impure glances that turn on the emotion of lust, depending upon the susceptibility of the person to it, because lust is so opposite to what is defined as a genuine Christian virtue of love. Love has to do with respecting the dignity of the other, giving of oneself in genuine care for the other, and seeing and treating the other as the beautiful person that God made him or her to be. Lust, on the other hand, dehumanizes the other and turns him or her, and even oneself, into an object of one's own sexual gratification. Lust is what happened to love after original sin. That's why Adam and Eve had to cover themselves. Whereas Bishop Robert Wynne of Kansas City states, in paraphrasing St. Pope John Paul II in his pastoral letter, "Blessed are the pure in heart, on the dignity of the human person, and the dangers of pornography," which he had issued through all the parishes in his diocese in 2007, he says, this is John Paul II that he quotes, "The problem with pornography is not that it reveals too much of the person, that is that which is in the sexual images, but it reveals too little of the person. The person in the image is reduced to the sexual organs and sexual faculties and is thereby totally depersonalized or dehumanized." The Catechism of the Catholic Church offers the following definition of pornography. "Pornography consists of removing real or simulated sexual acts from the intimacy of the partners in order to display them deliberately to third parties. It offends against chastity because it perverts the conjugal act, the intimate giving of spouses to each other. It does grave injury to the dignity of the participants, since each one becomes an object of the base pleasure and illicit profit for others. It immerses all who are involved in the illusion of fantasy world. It is a grave offense." In other words, when engaged in freely, with full knowledge that it is serious, and one everyone that engages in it has a sense that it is serious, it becomes the case of a mortal sin. It's very important to find that because a lot of people don't know that. Pornography is a case of a mortal sin. One may not receive Holy Communion after engaging in pornography without first having recourse to the sacrament of penance and making a firm amendment to avoid it in the future. Pornography is truly an epidemic that leads to a serious undermining not only of our faith in God, relationships with others, dangers to one's own welfare, temporal and eternal, but a great corrosion of moral values in general. From the perspective of the confessional, and we hear over 300 confessions here at Meriton, I can tell you that it is an epidemic because it is the most frequently confessed sin today, principally among men, but also among women as well. And this is not merely the case with unbelievers, but those who seek to be good Catholics, priests, seminarians, and laity alike of all levels of denominations, single and married. Official studies confirm this. According to a 2004 study, U.S. porn revenue exceeded the combined revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC, which at that time was $6.2 billion. Porn revenue is larger than all combined revenues of all professional football, basketball, and baseball franchises. That's incredible. The pornography industry, according to conservative estimates, brings in $57 billion per year, of which the U.S. is responsible for $12 billion, which is about one-third of all in the world. Sex is the number one topic searched on the internet. 70% of 18 to 24-year-old men have been reported visiting pornographic sites in a typical month. 47% of Christians said pornography is a major problem in the home life. How about pornography in children? In a study conducted in January 2004, 96% were reported as having gone online to view porn. Of these, 90% are 18 to 16-year-olds, most viewing pornography while doing homework. 11-year-old is the average age of first internet exposure to pornography, with many being first exposed to it as early as age and seven. Just think of it, age and seven, little kids, babes. If this was the case in 2004, how much more prevalent it must be today with increased technology advancement through images that now can be seen through iPhones, which did not exist back then, iPads, and all the various forms of social media that have been developed since. It's there at our fingertip. That's how evil it has become and pernicious. One might ask, since pornographic images can be viewed freely, how is it that the industry is able to make so much money off of it? Because the pornographic images that can be accessed freely are represented just as teasers to more hardcore and base images for which one must then pay a nominal monthly fee in order to see them without limit or purchase materials that are even more explicit and pornographic in nature. And so this outlines the addictive pornographic, how pornography can be. The addictive nature of pornography has been shown through new research in the field of brain chemistry that pornography affects the brain just like many other drugs. It secretes the same chemicals within it, forms the brain patterns, and one becomes addictive to the point where one loses one's will. I don't have all the scientific explanations, don't have time for that, but there's a lot of reading material. You can read about that. This may have very serious effects on one's physical, financial, and relational well-being with God and others. Its effects on the self include a great sense of guilt, shame, depression, feeling of worthlessness, anxiety, irritability, difficulty concentrating, headaches, stomach aches, a lot of physical problems added to that as well. It can have severe financial impact because of the money that is spent on purchasing pornographic materials in order to get an ever greater high from it. Because one of the things about the addiction is that you can't have enough of it. The initial stage wears off and you need better and better pornographic images, higher level of it. It can lead to a terrible lack of concentration at work, school, home, because one's imagination is so occupied with these images that it leads one unable to focus on what that which is needed for one to be really productive in life. It can also have severe effects on one's relation with others, because the person addicted to pornography has to spend so much time viewing these images that he has little time to spend with wife, children, family, and friends, leading to experience a great sense of loneliness. When I say he, I mean both genders. It can lead to a breakup of good marital relationships because one will also tend to physically use one's spouse as an object of pleasure rather than a person with whom one is called to share the totality of self with. And I can tell you that especially the spouse can sense when she is being used as an object of pleasure, and it does lead to a breakup of marital unity. Because pornography is so oriented towards self-gratification, it will eventually lead a person to become more and more selfish in all other areas of one's life. Me and my concerns and desires, the only thing that matters. But the most devastating effect is on one's relationship with God. As I already mentioned, viewing pornography is a mortal sin. It cuts one completely from one's relationship with God. Because of it, one would then tend to not to pray, to go to church, to practice one's faith in all other areas of life, just at a point when one needs that grace that only God can give. It leads one to other sins like masturbation, bestiality, and because after a time just viewing those images is not enough, it may lead one to act them out with others and so will seek out prostitute, phone sex, even incest and rape. It has been shown in studies that a vast majority of those convicted of rape, in fact all of them, have started by viewing pornography. Personally, I believe that lust is one of those capital sins in which the devil is always involved. If one starts out viewing pornography early in life or develops a compulsion towards it, it is possible that there might be an actual demonic spirit that attaches itself to it, leaving one unable to break away from it without an intervention of a priest who is skilled in deliverance ministry to drive them out. There have been a number of cases in this category in which I had to personally deal with. It can even lead to actual possession where the devil takes over all of one's motor functions. Here it's important to note the message that Our Lady gave to Little Jacinta, one of the three seers of Fatima before she died on February 20, 1920. Among other things, Our Lady said to her, "More souls go to hell because of sins of the flesh than for any other reason." If this was the case in 1920, how much more must it be so when pornography has been so widespread today and so easily accessible? How can one break free from a cycle of pornographic addiction? First of all, one must have the remedy that God provides us through His church. Most important here is making a regular use of sacrament of penance, where the sin can be forgiven and grace communicated to our future, following through with the Eucharist, with rosary, seeking intercession of the saints, and so on. If one is addicted, you must come out and not hide it. Seek the help of someone else. Tell your confessor, first of all, your spouse or other friend. Accountability is a very important issue. If indeed you are really hooked on it, then you will need help of support groups, and there are many such that exist. On a natural level, first of all, we must not keep it as a secret. You must talk about it. You have to avoid the senses and keep custody of your senses. This is what we say in the act of contrition, that I will avoid the temptation of sin. There's so much that can be said, but we're limited. But let's close with a prayer to Our Lady to help all those who are afflicted with this. Mary, Mother Most Pure, and Joseph, chaste guardian of the Virgin, to you we entrust the purity of our souls and body. We beg you to plead with God for us and all who are afflicted with pornography, that we may never for the remainder of our lives soil our souls by any sin of impurity. We earnestly wish to be pure in thought, word, and deed, in imitation of your own holy purity. Obtain for us a deep sense of modesty, which will be reflected in our external conduct. Protect our eyes, the windows of our souls, from anything that might dim the luster of a heart that must mirror only Christ-like purity. We have to now to take a short break on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. You're listening to Healing the Whole Person. My name is Father John Grigas, Rector of Marytown, and we'll be right back to take your questions.
Do you like hearing Catholic radio in our area? We need your support. Send your tax-deductible donation to WSFI, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048.
We welcome you back to WFSI 88.5 Catholic Radio in this episode on Healing of the Whole Person. My name is Father John Grigas, Rector of National Shrine of St. Max and Kolbe, and I've just spoken about pornography, healing of pornography, and now we'll take some questions.
How would... You mentioned a number of sources that people could go to. Can a priest, you talk about possession of the devil, that could a priest who deals with this sort of thing, with possessions, could he cure a person who is suffering from pornography?
Yes, the priests have the power to be able to do that, but priests have to be skilled in doing that.
Yes.
Not every priest knows how to do that, right. Basically. So we're talking about deliverance ministry. If we're talking about possession, person has lost all faculties, that is reserved to a special priest that is authorized by the bishop to do exorcisms. But in most cases, it's not a case of exorcism. It's a case of a devil taking that possession of the area. So it looks like a strong addiction, but even group counseling cannot break it. And so then you know that there's a spirit holding on to it, and you have to hold that. But one can do something oneself, too. Every person has power over the evil one. So basically, if you feel strong temptations to lust, and if it comes all of a sudden, just say, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, spirit of lust and pornography, I bind you, I want no part of you, get away from me now, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. And you will immediately see a kind of a decrease of that tendency towards lust, and you'll be able to turn away. And then pray and just say no. The important thing in defeating pornography is not acting at the end when you've already committed sin, but the very instant of the temptation. You must not open up your heart to the desire. Even opening one's heart to the desire to search something on the internet, oh, you know, I can go, I don't have to look at it. You already said yes to the devil. You're dead. So you have to keep your heart pure from the very first moment, not even yield to the desire to stay free from this temptation. Okay.
You also mentioned that it affects the brain and that it can kind of take over the will.
Yes.
Does that mitigate the seriousness of the sin if they have really lost their will because of the changes in the brain?
It mitigates the seriousness of the sin at the time when they're addicted, yes. But all the steps that have led to it, they're still responsible for those steps that have led to them. So they still have to confess that because they began at some point. You know, however freely it was, maybe it was without full knowledge, so that does mitigate it. But the objectivity of it is very serious. Whether it is mortal sin also adds to the freedom of the will and the knowledge of the seriousness, and that is questionable. But anyway, it does need to be broken and confessed from the very first instance all the way on.
And that can change then.
Yes. So, I mean, those who are truly addicted, they've lost their will. So one can say that, yes. I mean, in terms of God, God loves us, and God has no desire to condemn us. So the only thing that is not forgivable is one that is not confessed.
Thank you.
Father, what practical advice can you give parents who want to guide their children so they don't fall into this?
That's a very good question because you need to begin at the young age. As I mentioned, kids start off at the every age of 9 and some at 6 and 7, and that's when the devil also tends to cue themselves itself in and really hang on to that porn addiction because one is so impressionable as a child. So basically, you need to be able to watch the internet usage, phone usage. You need to be able to put filters on the computer, and really, children should not have access to iPhones with full internet usage until high school. But the best online program that I know is this: Protecting Your Family Online, the parents. How to guide through covenant eyes. What it is a filtering mechanism in which you can put on all the computers in the house, And in addition to filtering, what it will also do is give a printout of where your computers are, where your children are on a website, with all of the websites that are listed. You will have a report, and then if you see something suspicious, you need to have a talk with your children, and you explain it. You know, this is not good. Explain your values, and try to filter it out as early as possible. The problem is that parents don't tend to talk about sexuality before the kids. That's the biggest complaints of even high school kids. My parents never talked to me about it. I never found out about the birds and the bees, only from the back alleys, and that's wrong. We need to be able to communicate our sexual values in a good, responsible way from ground up with those children, and then we need to tell them about the evils of pornography, having sexual partners, established limits of dating, and all this kind of stuff. But Covenant Eyes is the best program that you can get, and I would recommend that for anyone. Anyone else?
Would you have any recommendations for people who know others who are in pornography that are adults and they're wanting to love and reach out to them?
If you know that somebody is on pornography, the best thing that you can do is to let them know. I'm sorry for mentioning this to you. I do so because I really care and love you. I've seen you be on pornographic website. Those things are very malicious, very dangerous. I'm here to help you. Would you care to talk about it? Or would you want me to help you to find some resources to heal from that? It is the most hidden secret, and the danger of it is precisely that it's so hidden, is buried within, and the more buried within it is, the more potent it is. That's the typical situation with the evil one. He likes to keep himself hidden. You need to expose it, and this is where sharing with your confession, but also accountability, where you join a group like an SA group, Sexual Anonymous, and then you receive an accountability partner who you can call, who has the filtering mechanism, who sees where you are, and who calls you when you've been where you should not have been. It's kind of humbling, but it's the humility that leads to the virtue and to the breaking of that addiction.
Father, what does the church, or how does the church regard pornography? As Jesus says, when you lust, you commit adultery. As far as divorce and separation is concerned, especially if they are unwilling to admit it and or seek help?
Well, as I said before, pornography is a case of a mortal sin. And the problem is that it is not talked about in the pulpit. And most people are not aware of it. And it should be. It should be something that should be addressed. So it is a case of a mortal sin, which requires reconciliation. So that's the first thing that you want to advise someone. And then outside of that, to give them steps for, there's wonderful books that one can read, Integrity Restored, but Dr. Kliponis is one of them, Protecting Your Family from Pornography, but there are many other resources, even online resources. So help is available. And so as a member of the church, whether priest or faithful, you should try to give persons the help that you can. But exposing it is the first best thing that you can possibly do, is to simply talk about it, bring it up, bring it to the light, because then you destroy its power when you do that. And unfortunately, yes, it is not talked about enough in a church, and it should be. I would say out of all the confessions that we hear, clearly, over 70% of them have to do with pornography. That's dangerous. And this is a Marytown.
Father John? I was concerned about how it has influenced the television networks. I mean, just even this last week, I was watching a news program at 9 o'clock, and they were joking on Channel 9 about one of the broadcasters, you better not get his pornography number. And they were laughing about this at 9 a.m. on Channel 9 news. And I thought to myself, everywhere you turn, I don't watch a lot of mainstream television, but Even like sometimes when I'm waiting for a weather report or something, I'll be on a station, and I'm amazed at what I'm seeing, whether it's models on a runway, a runway, or what they're wearing, or it's just the insinuation. What should we do as everybody? Because we have television sets and we turn them on, and the programs are filled with sex, violence, pornography, and this is stuff that is on the channels all the time.
You're absolutely correct, Christine, because sex sells. So it becomes part of commercials, because when you combine sex, you gain a person's attraction to that commercial, and they know it, and so they want to make money off of it. Also, the second reason is because pornography is still protected under freedom of speech. The only thing is when you get into child pornography, then there are some laws and people who watch over that, but it is still protected under the freedom of speech. So what do you do about it? I think you're right. You lobby. You write the stations, tell them that you are displeased as a parent about its effects, about those commercials. If enough letters are sent, they do have an impact.
Or I wonder, too, if we just simply turn off our television sets.
Well, personally, you turn off your television set so that you're not affected. But if you want to change mm-hmm. the public practice of it, then you have to voice it in public. You have to get together other many peoples and to write letters and complaining about that. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. One more question? Yes, just.
Father, they just addressed the idea of dress code on billboards and things like that, but how do you go about addressing the dress code in our churches?
Yes, that's a good point. Many people complain about that. I think every single spring, the pastor should write something in the column and should have a homily on a proper dress code for masses. I've done it here last spring, and I intend to do it again, and it's true. You have to understand that people who are addicted to porn get activated lust-wise not just by explicit sexual images, but even soft porn. Even when a woman has her shoulders down here, that can become very erotic and arousal for a person addicted to it. So it's also a question for each one of us on how we dress, not just for our own sake, but for respect of our Lord, but also respect for our brother and sister who might have a hard time, you know, who might be aroused for it. And it seems to be the way to be accepted in society. And we don't even think about it, but we fall into the trap as well. But when we would come to see the President of the United States, we would come well-dressed. When we're coming before our Lord and Savior, we should think about how dressed we should be for that, but also for another reason, because it is so susceptible and so arousing. It's a tremendous distraction, prevents a person from focusing on a Mass and the sacred mysteries, and cuts them off from receiving the healing power of that. It needs to be addressed over the pulpit. It needs to be written in parish bulletins and so on. You should ask your pastor to be able to do that. I've had people when I was a parish who asked me, please, Father, do something, because there are so many people that come basically half naked, and you need to do something about that. So we're wrapping up this portion of On the Healing of Pornography with this retreat of healing of the whole person on WFSI 88.5 Catholic Radio. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you.
You have been listening to Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. For more information about this program or to purchase additional CD copies, please call us at 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455. Or visit us online at wsfiradio.org.
Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.